Welcome back to the podcast. I'm joined by James today, who's a fellow PT, and I'm going to pick his brain about a couple of things, which he's very knowledgeable about. James, first of all, though, I saw that little eyebrow raise. First of all, though, give us a 60-second introduction. We're going Cilla Black. What's your name and where'd you come from?
James, originally from Southampton, but have a personal training business in Chichester. I work with everyone to a degree, whether that'll be young kids to people that are in their 70s, usually general population. Work with a number of people online one-to-one as well. So I'm just, I suppose you're just average personal trainer. And that's it. That's exciting as it gets. I suppose me and a friend of mine, Adam Boyd Brown, that Aaron knows as well, we have our own nice little one-to-one facility unit, which is quite similar to Aaron's. There we go.
Cool. Don't sell yourself too hard, mate. Wow.
No, wait, mate.
We need to work on that pitch. We can definitely G you up a little bit more than that. So I've got James on with me today because there's a couple of things I think that I would really like to ask him about. And I think he's got some really good information and knowledge and experience to share in those particular areas. So you happy for us to jump straight in, James, yeah, and get to the meat of it? Cool, fantastic. So correct me if I'm wrong, you're in the process of getting ready for an ultra marathon?
So essentially in September 2023, there's an ultra marathon multi-day event that I want to take part of. And it's essentially you're running from the top of Wales, i.e. even north of Snowdon, all the way down to Cardiff. So it's a 6-day, multi-day event of ultramarathons each day. And you essentially run down the spine. So that's the event I want to do, but there is other ultramarathons that I like doing in between that, just because it's a nice way to sort of train for that event, because you don't really just randomly go out for 30 milers. It's always good to do it sort of on a race or an event, I like to call them, because I'm not racing at all. And that's where you obviously get to trial that. So I suppose that's what I'm training for now.
So to be
just
clear,
running in general.
An ultra marathon is 30 miles.
It's anything above a marathon, but it usually most ultra marathon events are always roughly about 30 miles. There's probably like an unwritten rule of it being like 27 miles, you know, it doesn't count.
And so what? And so you're doing the same distance. What was it? Five days in a row?
Six days in a row. All different distances. Different elevation as well. So I think you climb Everest roughly about twice. So it's over 16,000 meters.
Right.
And I think it's over. I think it's 380 kilometers across 6 days.
Wow! Amazing. The reason I wanted to ask you about it is not because I think a lot of the potential listeners to this episode will be interested in running six ultra marathons back to back. I think that's very unlikely. But obviously, a lot of the people that you and I work with, and hopefully a lot of people listening to the podcast, will find themselves wanting to balance to some degree traditional strength training work, you know, getting stronger, building muscle, and some sort of cardiovascular work, conditioning, whether that's running, cycling. And so obviously you find yourself in a very extreme position at the moment, doing an incredible amount of running volume. And I'm also aware that you are maintaining a degree of strength training. And so what I would really like to hear about a bit more is what your thought process is in general, in terms of how you're managing to deal with all of the running work you're doing while still managing to squeeze in some degree of strength training. So can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, so I've always predominantly strength trained and done like one run per week just as like a tick over. But now that's completely flipped on its head, where it's been the running that's four sessions. And if I'm lucky, two strength sessions or one. So it's completely gone the other way. And in the beginning, it was really nice. Like I was still, say, strength was going up. Running, I was making like quite a lot of PBs, should we say, just getting better week on week. And now it's starting to sort of taper off a little bit, and both of them are quite hard. But the main thing for me is actually looking at now strength as a supplement, and that's quite hard to get your head around from a performance point of view, but also an aesthetics point of view as well. You can sort of like, I can see my body changing as it's going on. But I suppose for me, and this is for the listeners as well, I have a real specific task that's in 2023. So that's my goal. Whereas I know some listeners want to probably add a little bit more running in or strength in, but if you can factor a little bit more running or any sort of cardio work, I always think that's a good idea for the general public anyway. I think it's important that everyone gets out of breath every now and then, you know, and also it adds another dimension to your training, and you'll be surprised how in some cases it's actually more convenient than going to the gym for some people. You know, walking out of their front door, going for a little jog, whether that be like a minute on, minute off walk, whatever it is, doesn't really matter. Or they already have a push bike, they could do something like that. But it, for me, it adds a nice bit of variation to your training, because as I imagine you're probably aware, like lifting weights from time to time does get boring. And I think it's nice sometimes to delve off into that, play around with a little bit of cardio work. And, you know, I think it has a massive carryover to most people's day-to-day. You know, if they want to go on a nice hike on a Sunday, it's something they wouldn't be able to do, say, before, but now they've done a little bit of more cardio work in the gym or whatever at all, or whatever, however they do it, you know, those Sunday hikes become more, they become easier. And then they, you know, you can push yourself a little bit more.
Yeah. So obviously you're a big advocate of getting into conditioning, you know, maybe not ultra marathon straight away, but definitely complementing the resistance training side of things, lifting weights, with getting a bit out of breath, getting a bit sweaty, whether that's running, cycling, whatever that may be. If you are writing a plan for yourself or for a friend or a client, and they are transitioning into that more hybrid approach, they're doing a bit of both. What are some key, what are sort of some big recommendations you might have? So you don't have to get into the exact programming, as on this day you need to run this many kilometers at this pace, but what are some really simple things that you like to do when it comes to changing the way people are training, whether that's adding things in, removing some things? What are some key considerations if someone is starting to add more conditioning to their training plan when they currently do pretty much predominantly, if not exclusively, lifting weights and stuff?
So I'd obviously speak to that person, try to manage their expectations. Like if they want to delve off into this route, we have to understand that comes at a cost. Most people always just try and do everything and end up carrying a load of residual fatigue, and then they just end up like feeling like shit.
When you say try to do everything, you mean as in like they do their strength training, which is like four times a week, let's say.
Yeah.
And they try and add a running program on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people just naturally do try and think, and we all like to do it. We all do this, by the way. Like I've just had a massive lesson learned by me trying to do too much. And it's trying to actually get that person to understand is that there has to be, we have to pull something back. So if you're doing four strength sessions a week, we could go, right, let's do three full body, let's say, and then go, right, now where you would do that fourth strength session, let's make that, you know, a cardio based session. And that's just a nice way to do it. But it, for me, it's explaining to that person that it has to come at a cost, maybe dropping volume in their strength sessions as well, but getting a real clear understanding of what that person wants as well. Because if there's someone that goes up, pardon?
By training volume, when you say training volume, give me a quick example of what you mean by that.
So like, let's say someone's doing five sets of whatever for that exercise, I could just drop that back down to four and play around with the rep range as well, and lower that down.
And what's the thought process behind that? Why is that something that you would tend to do?
Just so that when they go into their runs or they go into their other sessions, they're not absolutely ragged.
Yeah.
It's just stripping that back just a tiny bit so they can still progress strength.
Yeah.
So they can still get what they want out of their weight sessions, but it's not going to massively interfere with their running as well, because that's something they want to they want to get better at as well, right?
Cool. Fantastic. Yeah. I'm not trying to catch out or anything. I think it's just important to give like little examples and just to flesh things out a little bit, just in case someone's listening thinking, I'm not 100% sure what that means, but hopefully they get the idea of, well, instead of doing five sets, I'll do four.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming that if you carried that out across the entirety of a day of training in the gym, you know, you've lost 20% of that day, but that 20% you can then stick onto your running, your cycling, your rowing, or your assault bike work. Okay, cool, fantastic. Are there things, if we're thinking about running or cycling, a lot of cardio-based work is lower body dominant, I think it'd be reasonable to say.
Yeah.
Do you think people should still have strength training for their lower body in their program if they are also going out and running or cycling a couple of times a week?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I just think you just think of how much like weight training is so different to running, cycling, swimming, all these things. It creates such a different adaptation. And for me, it just makes you more robust, you know, like those issues that you may have at your ankle, your knee or your hip. Usually weightlifting is just going to train those tissues around those joints to just be a little bit more resilient. Now, that does mean that like anything, you do have to be mindful of that, as in, you know, you're not absolutely blasting yourself and then going out for a run. But as you know, like strength training once a week, you know, from a maintenance point is enough, you know, and there's a lot of research that promotes that. So even though we all think, oh my God, I'm going to lose all my gains if I don't train 12 times a week, blah, blah, blah. But actually once a week is enough. So if you've got someone that's doing three full body sessions a week and doing a little bit of cardio, you know, they're ticking the boxes, even though they might see a little bit of strength drop off, because you do definitely notice. For me, my biggest point is like strength in my squat has definitely dropped down quite a lot.
Yeah.
But deadlifts, good.
Yeah. I think fair to point out though, or probably good to point out, that you are also training for several back-to-back ultra marathons.
Yeah, exactly.
And so again, you find yourself at the extreme end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that'd be perfectly understandable. So the big take home is don't stop training your legs just because you work your legs when you run or cycle. Maybe do slightly less overall volume. So, you know, fewer sets, maybe fewer repetitions. What about training intensity? If we're doing less overall work in the gym, do we have to change the intensity, i.e. how heavy we're lifting, how hard we're pushing?
So I would predominantly with myself and a few of people that I have at the moment that are training for like marathons whilst strength training, is sort of, I would drop the reps as well. So we're not trying to push for hypertrophic gains. We're trying to push for strength. And what I usually tend to find with people like that and like myself is actually you can still lift relatively strong without accruing loads of fatigue within a session. And that's, so if we're to do like it, explain it in an easier way, if you're wanting to pick up cardio more, then ideally what you want to do in the gym is look at like a strength rep range, i.e. like a 3 to 6. And then obviously you can sort of play with the sets depending on you. And it depends on people's capacity, right? That's the thing. It depends on actually how fit they are, what they can handle in the gym. But I would always tend to sort of pull those reps down a little bit.
So by intensity, we're talking about weight on the bar, getting closer to like your one rep max. So you're lifting 80-85%, as opposed to intensity being training really hard in the sense of doing drop sets on leg extensions and rest pause sets on pendulum squats. So we're steering clear of the more intense
fatiguing.
Intense bodybuilding style workouts.
Yeah.
And almost training a bit like, not like a powerlifter, but a bit more towards that end of things.
Yeah, for sure. And
okay, cool.
Yeah, definitely. Because then you can take longer rest and you just notice that you're still staying relatively strong, but you're not in that hypertrophy range, even though we know that you can obviously grow muscle in any rep range.
Yeah.
But it just generally doesn't, like I say, accrue much fatigue. So you'll be able to run the next day. You feel a little bit of DOMS, but it's not as bad as if you did like 4 times 10, which you'd just be like, you know?
Yeah, you would be, good. Yeah. Good use of words.
Yeah.
You'd be like,
yeah.
So we've got common mistakes people make: training with too much volume, sticking running programs or cycling programs on top of strength programs rather than adjusting the two. Do you find people make mistakes when it comes to nutrition and diet? You know, if they go from a position of doing 3 or 4 gym sessions a week and they want to add in a bit more conditioning or cardio, let's say, for instance, this person doesn't have any specific goals for like a photo shoot, or they're not a competitive physique athlete, so they want to be in shape, but they're not worried about being, you know, 3% body fat or anything like that. Are there errors that you think that you see people making when they start to add that sort of stuff in when it comes to what they're eating?
Yeah, definitely for myself, I've found this out of late. Of like, I think sometimes we just revolve the training realm around fat loss, whereas actually we need to sometimes, when we're training, depending on what we're doing, we need to fuel for that performance that we want to carry out. Especially like when you do your cardio stuff. If you go out and do cardio fasted, and even with some people when they do weights, they feel like shit because they're fasted. You haven't fueled yourself for that session. So I do think we sometimes, if someone doesn't have aesthetic goals, we do need to fuel better for our sessions. You know, that could even be having an electrolyte drink before, making sure you've had something like relatively carb heavy, like just to say a bagel, quite simple, or a banana. And then I would even look at replenishing that after as well. So have another bit of electrolyte drink, a protein shake, and then something carb heavy. I do think sometimes the hot, like the fitness round, we're just always focusing on diet, so trying to get by on as least calories as possible. Whereas actually, I imagine a lot of people actually just want to perform better in the gym, so we actually need to fuel better for our sessions.
Cool. And then when you're adding in conditioning on top of that, if assuming you're not adding in conditioning for the purpose of fat loss, which is the case in this example, you know, this hypothetical person that we've mapped out, then okay, so we need to take that into account, and we probably need to actually eat a little bit more to take into account the calories that we're burning, but also we want to make sure we're fueling ourselves so that we can perform as well as we can.
Yeah, and you just feel better within those sessions. Like the amount of times I've gone out, woken up, gone out on like a 6 to 8 mile run on nothing, on a bit of coffee and water, and I'm just like halfway around, I'm absolutely starving.
Yeah.
And that's going to affect my performance when actually my run, I want to get the best out of this run. And that can be like a weight session. If you've got a heavy weight session, you don't want to be thinking about being hungry whilst in the gym. I know you don't want to be bloated as well, but like, you know, we're there to perform better, aren't we? So sometimes we just need to fuel those sessions.
Yeah, cool, fantastic. No, that's really good. I think we've got some really good key points out of that. Obviously, like I said, you're in a very extreme position in terms of what you're preparing for, but people are trying to balance their strength work and their conditioning, which is awesome because, you know, they're going to feel better, they're going to perform better. You know, it can be really fun. It could be a different way of hitting some PBs and getting that sense of achievement. You know, you and I both do that in our own training anyway, but making sure that we're not, you know, putting running programs on top of full strength programs, making sure that we aren't training so hard it's impacting our cardio, you know, adjusting volume, and making sure that we don't fall into the trap of thinking of diet and nutrition in terms of weight loss and cutting calories and cutting carbohydrates, making sure that we're not sacrificing potential progress and improvement because we're afraid to eat a couple of extra bananas and a bit of cereal.
Especially if you want to get more out of your sessions and you're not actually dieting, then
Cool, fantastic. Complete different tangent. The other thing that I really wanted to talk to you about, obviously, because I think that's really, really good. We've got some key takeaways there. We've got some stuff that hopefully people can implement an action. I know that you love that word. The other thing I wanted to talk about, obviously, is you have been a personal trainer for quite a while. You work with a range of clients. I imagine there will be people listening to this who are either considering starting serious strength training for the first time, or starting it back up after the last few years, obviously, where gyms are closed, or they're fairly new to it. It would be really cool to hear a couple of suggestions, recommendations you might have for people who are getting into strength training, serious strength training for the first time. So, you know, maybe they've done, they've been to some gym classes, they've done some gym machine stuff, but they're looking at things like deadlifts and squats, you know, barbell movements, free weight movements. When you're coaching someone for the first time, where do you start with them?
I just essentially, so is this advice? Well, sorry, is this advice for someone who wants to get into the gym, or someone, a client, a new client of mine?
So let's say, for instance, that their background of training, you know, they've done some classes, maybe they go to like spin classes, they've been to the gym, but it tends to be, you know, machine-based stuff. Maybe they jump on a treadmill for a bit, they jump on a cross trainer, they do like the leg extension, and they're not 100% confident yet when it comes to the free weights for whatever reason. Maybe they're concerned about their technique, maybe they're concerned about injury, maybe they lack confidence. So if someone was to approach you and say, I want to be really awesome at deadlifting and squatting, they're fit, they're physically fit. This is not the first time they've ever trained, but it's the first time they've done that sort of thing. What would you do to start with them? Whether that's a conversation you have, where do you start in terms of what exercises you begin with? Does that help?
Yeah, that makes sense. So obviously get them in for a session. But prior to that, sort of you'd have sort of conversations anyway, whether that be email, WhatsApp or whatever, and sort of try get an understanding of like what they've done before. Because you can have people that have trained for a very long time, but unfortunately, which is amazing, which is good, but haven't trained effectively for a long time. So try and get that person in for a session. Obviously pick up from whatever you've got, the information you've got from them already, and just sort of get them to move around and just see how they move. Like sometimes I'll even say to a client, like, just imagine I'm not here when they do an exercise and just let them just see how that goes. And then if there's any tweaks, then, you know, I'll just coach them into that.
Yeah. But what do you say to people that have concerns about health and safety? You know, let's say, for instance, someone has the idea that deadlifting is bad for the back, or if you lift weights in a certain way that you can injure and hurt injure yourself and hurt yourself. Mm. If someone comes to you with those concerns, what sort of conversations what would you say to that person?
So I would generally try and expose them to that thing that they're obviously worried about to a degree, but obviously in a very reassuring way, and get them to do it and build confidence. So say it's like a deadlift variation, you know, I would demo that out and say, look, hey, it does work elements of the back, works your hamstrings, works your glutes, bit of a full body movement, but just try and reassure them and get them to sort of overcome that barrier that I suppose other personal trainers and other people in the fitness industry have put up. But get them to do it. So then when they do it, they can go, oh, actually, this isn't that bad. And then obviously explain to them about sort of how safe the gym is in that way. You know, just tell them, like, the gym is a very, very safe place, and especially where they're going to be with you, you know, that there's not going to be an issue. So it's just essentially reassurance that it will be okay.
And do you think that any of, like, concerns around deadlifting being quote-unquote bad for your back, and squatting being quote-unquote bad for your knees, if people think that, do you think there's any real merit to that? Or do you think that it's mostly been spread by people who maybe don't have the worst of intentions but are misinformed?
I think when most of these people talk about this sort of stuff, right, like fitness professionals, okay, cool, physios, chiropractors.
I just wanted to clear that up. Yeah. So other fitness professionals,
I think to a degree they're misinformed, but I don't think it comes from a bad place. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they understand the concept that well. You know, you think some physios will hand out, let's say, terrible advice, but they don't do any strength training, but they know the research of the benefits of strength training, and it's like, you know. So I don't think it genuinely comes from a bad place, unless they've obviously got the typical here's your issue, here's my plan, then it's like, ah, okay, we see where this is going. But I don't think it comes from a bad place with most people. They're just misinformed, and unfortunately it creates like a massive scarcity of our industry. You know, that it, like, most of your Gen Pop clients, most of my Gen Pop clients will to a degree have an element of fear around the gym,
in some way,
whereas, like, say, like, people might, like me and you, who are quite blasé, like, no, it's fine, we're the sort of people that actually never get hurt, because we just don't play into that whole thing. we just don't exacerbate that sort of issue. And I suppose we're quite fortunate to have been training for a long time that I suppose we're just more robust. But this is the problem. We've got these people who are more qualified than a personal trainer, so they naturally sit higher up. When they say something, people are going to believe that more than what they would us, you know, and they say something that may be misleading, you know, we're going to have clients that question us on that. And it's obviously our job to try and just explain it a little bit more, say it's not like this, show them the thing, then get them to do it, and then just build up confidence around that area. And understand, actually, what you're doing now is actually strengthening your back, let's say, from a deadlift.
Cool. So if someone came in with those concerns, you'd sort of politely and positively encourage them to move away from that assumption, shall we say, and help them and coach them and help them to realize that actually strength training is probably pretty pretty safe in the grand scheme of things. It's sort of from a similar person or someone, let's say, who not so worried or concerned about, you know, they don't think they're going to end up, you know, broken or injured or hurt from you doing free weights, but they want to get stronger at it and they want to get stronger, you know, quickly. Not in a rush, but yeah, they want to make progress. What would be some really simple but key recommendations that you have for improving upon strength in the gym when it comes to free weights? Without getting so specific in terms of like, oh, make sure when you deadlift the bar is an inch and a half from your shins. So not in terms of like the specific points of an exercise and the technique for it, but general principles, what are some things that people should be aware of?
I think, so if you want to improve strength, let's say in a certain exercise, I think frequency massively matters with that. I think a lot of times as well, people want to improve strength at something, but they're actually doing too many reps. So I'd say strip back those reps again, go to like a 3 to 6 and work within that realm and just try build on upon from that. But also don't be scared to pull reps back, but up the sets as well. Like, you know, doing 5 to 6 sets for like 3s to 4s, there's nothing wrong with that, even though that may seem like, oh my God, there's loads of sets there, but you've got to remember we're working at higher intensity, i.e. load. So we need to still get that volume in. And that's what I think massively from a strength point of view, when I think about that, it's actually people probably do too many reps. Yeah. They're like, oh, I want to get better at the deadlift. And they're doing like 4 times 12. And it's like, halve that and do some more sets and you'll probably see your PB go up. I had a client recently, she was doing like 80 kilos for like 8 reps. And she wanted to build strength in her deadlift. I said, what we're going to do, we're just going to pull those reps back to like 3s to 4s, give them the rep range of what they want to do, and then do more sets. And in later weeks, I went down to 2s and 3s, and that person got to like, within a few weeks, they was up at 100 kilos, you know?
Cool. And you touched on at the very beginning, frequency.
Yeah.
When you say people need to increase their frequency.
Okay.
Can you expand?
Yeah. So sorry. When we want to get better at something, we've got to remember that's a skill. So doing it once a week usually isn't good enough. Like, there's certain things you can do daily. If you want us to be good at handstands, that's something you could do daily. If you want to be good at squats, deadlifts, bench, whatever, that's something we need to be hitting minimum twice a week.
Right.
If we're programming it effectively, I would say 3 times a week, depending on the person, what can they handle. And that's actually probably bigger now that we've spoke about this. This is actually, I'd say, a bigger rock than actually the rep range and sets to a degree. Yeah. Okay. So frequency, trying to do that skill 2 to 3 times a week. And you'll see, you will see a massive improvement, because not only will you see an improvement in strength, you'll see an improvement in technique as well, because you're doing it more.
And when you say people, you know, should ideally do it 2 or 3 times a week, are they maxing out every single session? You know, are they going like absolute 10 out of 10, full guns blazing 3 times a week with their squat, for instance, if they want to get better at squats?
No. So you'll be working at, say, a certain percentage. For most people, it's going to be like between 70 and 85%, all depending on the person. What can they actually handle? So your first few weeks of working with someone is actually probably finding out their capacity, because some people can really, you can nearly bury them every session, they bounce back because that person sleeps well, fuels themselves around their sessions, eats well, you know, and some people just don't have that capacity or that work rate just yet. So I'd say, yeah, you know, play with different rep ranges.
Yeah.
And then obviously, depending on how long that block would be, that i.e. a block, so a time of training, then you'd obviously try and test that towards the end, depending on the person, how much time they have, or when do they actually want to get to that goal as well.
Yeah. So we're training hard, but there's a point where training super hard, you know, going absolute max is probably not sensible, but we still need to make it a reasonably challenging session.
Yeah.
And you would, I'm guessing you would say that, or would you say that a lot of that comes down to the individual, in the sense of some people will be able to do more, some people will be able to do a little bit less. And is there a degree of trial and error or something like that?
Yeah, for sure. I think everything's an experiment with people, like when it comes to them wanting to develop a skill.
Yeah.
And like your first month when you're working with people, you do even longer sometimes than that with people, in a one-to-one, online or in person, you're still finding out about them. Do you know what I mean? And then what you'll sort of notice as well is, like, let's say you're seeing a client three times a week, right? You'll notice that every week will probably be a little bit different in every session, because some sessions we come in, we haven't slept well, we don't feel that great, we're not that up for it. Then some sessions we'll just be bouncing off the wall, walking in, and we're ready to, you know, absolutely push it. So I think that auto-regulation thing is quite handy to use as well with people.
So if someone is looking for a training plan and they find a training plan online that's very specific, let's say it says three sets of five at this way, and then 3 days later, four sets of two at this way, would you recommend that they take that with a pinch of salt, I suppose, maybe, and be okay with adjusting it?
Yeah, I suppose, and it comes down to that person's relative strength, doesn't it? And are they the sort of person, to be like, I would just start light and build into it. As in, not too light, challenging, but it's better than starting too heavy and then just burying yourself, you know. Yeah. Like, just start a little bit lighter and then work your way into it, because then you're going to find your feet with that program and see if it actually suits what your needs are.
Cool. Fantastic. And the last thing that I wanted to ask you about on this subject is, if someone wants to get stronger, you know, they want to see more weight on the bar, but they're not too fussed about the exact exercise. So they want to do a deadlift, but they don't mind what deadlift. They want to do a form of like squatting exercise, but it doesn't have to be a barbell back squat. How do you go about choosing or suggesting which exercise to do, given that there are dozens of different variations of deadlifts?
Yeah, I would just choose the one that suits their mechanics the best.
How'd you find that out?
Where the one that they could be the strongest in. So like, let's say, I suppose it's finding the simplest one that suits them the best.
Right.
So it could be, say, let's use a squat. For some people, it could be the front squat, could be the goblet squat, and then they just drive into that. With a deadlift, you know, you're going to probably have, to a degree, the trap bar that suits everyone within reason, you know. So, and then I would just drive through that, because not only is that going to be the simplest task for them to execute, it's the one that they're probably going to get the most bang for their buck, because they're actually going to have an innate drive to push that exercise, because it's going to, the one that's going to feel best, you know. If you put a back, like if you get someone to do a back squat and it just feels horrible and they hate it, and you're constantly correcting them and saying, no, we need to do this and we need to do that, probably the wrong exercise for that person.
Cool.
Get them to hold a dumbbell in front of them, get them on the slant board, squat, how does that feel? Good.
Yeah.
Try front squat, does it work? If it works, stay with that.
Cool, fantastic. So yeah, I think we've got some real nice points for people, you know, reminding them that strength training on the whole is a very safe activity. Doing more of it, if you want to get stronger, practicing it, doing more of it is probably a good idea. And, you know, don't feel like you have to do a certain exercise just because other people do it. You know, if a certain exercise feels really good and you can lift lots of weight, it's fine to do that, especially if the other variations just feel really awkward and clunky. I'm really aware of your time. I know you've got to go off and like do another 100-mile run in preparation for Snowdon and your marathon. So I won't keep you any longer. But one thing is, where can people find you?
So mainly on Instagram. It would just be Right Mind Fitness.
All one word?
Yeah.
That's cool. Fantastic. Excellent.
All right.
Excellent. Awesome. Yeah, Thank you. It, James. Cheers. Thanks for jumping on. I'll let you shoot. We're about to run into the 40-minute time block on Zoom anyway, because I forgot to update my profile.
It's horrible when it does that.
Yeah, I know. So it's going to come up any second. I don't know if it gives me a warning or if it just cuts off, but it's going to be any minute now. So no, that was fantastic. Appreciate you coming on. I'll get this uploaded soon. And
thank you.
I think that's it.
Cut recording.
I'm finding it. I'm finding it, all right. So bossy.